Baruch Hashem. We're continuing with our class on Gan Emuna, and we're still dealing with this problem of wanting to be right, Nitzachon. So let's continue a bit in the text. What do I have to say about it? He says like this. In order to find the truth, a person needs to be prepared to give up on everything for the sake of the truth. Right? We have to decide what we want in life. Are we really truth seekers? Rav Hashem, we're truth seekers. How much? How much truth can I handle? What am I prepared to do for the truth? Am I really prepared to go where the truth takes me? Still want to go where I want to go, largely. Truth is very nice, but it interferes with my plans. How much truth do I want? Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. Right? You can't.
Especially with the world of Sheker out there.
We're living in the world of Sheker. That means I have to give up stuff. If I start living in the world of truth, I have to give up stuff. It's very hard. It has great consequences. When I decided that my mash, I was living in the world of Sheker, I had to give up my job as a lawyer. I couldn't continue it. That was a very difficult decision. And it had very far-reaching, difficult consequences. I just couldn't do it anymore. The truth was, not to say that a person can't still be a lawyer and be a truthful person, but for me, the truth that I received at that point was, I can't continue doing this. This is just nonsense. This is just,
well, law is not necessarily about finding the embassy and returning to them. It's really being an advocate. And even if that leads you to not the embassy, the position is attorneys to be their client's advocate.
No,
which is so consistent.
You're right. Although fortunately, I wasn't really in the advocating. I was a corporate lawyer, so I was putting together deals, writing contracts. So there wasn't so much sheker, obvious sheker. It was more, from my point of view, it was more the case of the fact that I couldn't deal with. What am I doing here? What is all this nonsense? I was writing nonsense for nonsense between people who are talking about nonsense. I just couldn't be involved in that. It was just like, what a waste of my life. It wasn't like Bittul Torah. It was just like Bittul life. What am I doing? I just therefore couldn't be involved in it anymore. I don't want to be doing this with my life. This is not truth. This is just continuing this charade. I mean, it's all the imaginations and dimyanot that you owe him. And he, it has a place, but I couldn't find myself in there. And I'm not saying it's not a truth. You can be a frum lawyer and you can be part of the workplace. But where I was, I think where I still am. So I find that very difficult. And I actually find that very difficult. That I haven't yet worked out for myself how my serving Hashem fits in with that. I know it can appear. Historically, I can see how it works, how it can work. I haven't yet grasped that. So, the truth, finding the truth, looking for the truth, being prepared to give up for the truth, it's not such an easy thing. Can be very, very, very hard because we don't know where it's going to go.
We haven't even spoken about Aliyah. That's another major step.
Right, when a person sees the truth of Hashem and the land of Israel, that's also uh-huh. And so too, all of these things in life, because basically we're revealing Hashem's truth. And Hashem is very kind because, right, we get we get the truth that we want, right? The way a person wants to go, they lead him. So Hashem reveals to us what a person wants to see, right? Which means that if a person doesn't really want to see God in the world, he doesn't really see God. It is Mida Kenegan Mida, the more we want to see. And we know that, like, a person can hear a beautiful vort from the Rav, amazing, beautiful, and it really opens up his eyes. And it gets invited for Shabbos. And you go and try and tell someone this amazing, beautiful thing. And then you're like, what? So it doesn't mean anything to me. You're right, it doesn't mean anything to it's Chabad, it doesn't, because it's not, you haven't got the rats on to hear it. So he can't see it. But if we want to see the truth, we want to open our eyes, and we want Hashem to lead us on the path of truth. So we have to, like, accept the fact that we got things wrong. I really shouldn't have been a lawyer or that, really. Shouldn't have decided that, I know, playing Space Invaders until 2 in the morning is really the path to Hashem. But I have to give that up now. I really love playing Space Invaders until 2 in the morning, right? Right, we slowly we give stuff up. Kick out your TV, kick out your movies, kick out the newspapers, kick out what, and it's like, well, I have to give up. It feels like I'm missing out on life, right? Which is why, if from a Chilani standpoint, secular standpoint, who wants to be from, I just have to give up all this. What am I giving up then? I'm giving up all this nonsense for the good can be revealed, right? There's a lot of sol mira before asei tov. There's a lot of leaving the bad before you get the good. Right? The pasuk says sol mira asei tov. Right? First of all, you have to get out of the muck. I have to. Right? So what's my benefit? Right? Like, it's like keeping Shabbos. Right? I have to give up on a lot of things in order to keep Shabbos before I'm going to get the light and the beauty of Shabbos. That's going to come. Maybe not in the first week I keep Shabbos, right? But down the line, I'm going to get that in return. I'm going to get the good out of it. But first, there's a process of faith, of giving up, of the process of faith is like stepping out there into this new area, into this new place where I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what reward I'm going to get back. I'm trusting you that this is the path. I'm going to give up my job, give up that salary, give up, I don't know what's going to get back.
I think it's Rav Jaworo that explains that pasuk a little differently. He goes a little
differently.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
That when you get into something good, okay, all you want is more of that good. And what happens is that you eventually reach a point where you can't get more good because all the bad's there. Your hours of the day have these things that you really don't want to do, and you eventually want so much more of the good that it eliminates, begins to erase a lot of the things that you liked before, but you realize that they're nothing. So you go at sumer asei tov, do good. And by doing good,
I agree that happens, but the doing good usually comes at a price, because it doesn't come for free. It's not simply a case of, if it was all good and all great, and everybody would be out there doing it, right? They would, but there has to be a barrier. There has to be an entry price for the good. You don't get the good for free. And usually the entry price is, it looks like I'm giving up something, and my faith is, and I'm trusting in Hashem that it's going to work, that it's good, right? That it's going to work out, right? And I'm doing this because I trust that this is the right. I've seen the truth, I've seen the light. I don't know how it's going to work, what's going to be. I had when I started wearing my kippah in the UK, however long that was ago. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever that was. I was a corporate lawyer in a big law firm in the city. No one else in my office wore a kippah, right? I was an aspiring lawyer with plans, right? had no, I just knew it was the right thing to do. I had to do it. The scariest thing I ever did, to walk into the law firm one day wearing a kippah. The guy I was working for, the principal who I shared an office with, my boss, he's a Jewish guy. Not for him, obviously. So I walk in with wearing my kippah, and he looked at me, he said, either someone just died or you just got frum. So I said to him, the second one. And then I sat down and carried on work, and we haven't spoken about it again. So it was right for that. But that was first day. I had no idea what I'm about to step where I'm about. It's classic lech lecha. Lech lecha mi'atza mi'molata. You have to go from the place that you know, the comfort zone, and step into the unknown. You have no place, no idea what it's going to mean, what's going to happen now, right? That's the end of my career. That's whatever. Who knows? Right? But I see the truth. And this is what I have to do. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to take. But it usually means destroying some part of myself as well. I have to give up. I'm not only giving up on the physical, practical. Right? I may be here giving up on my career, my financial, my promotion. Maybe I'm not going to make a partner now because they don't want people keeping Shabbos and wearing kippahs and whatever. I know. Do me or not that the Yetzer Hara is going to throw at you, throw at me, in order to, that I've got to get through. But there's also the parts of me that break. The parts of me about my self-image, who am I, what's important to me in life, how connected am I to God, what's really important. All those have to break as well. And that's the growth. So when we grow, when we go after the truth, we're breaking our own barriers inside. They're the harder ones, really. Top of fighting the Yetzer Hara, there's a lot of things going on. And the bigger decision, that was a really big decision for me in my life. That was like one of my top five, right? Was to start rank. That was like huge for me to do that. But every day, we're making smaller ones, right? So when you're arguing with someone over the Gemara, you realize he's right, but you don't want to say so, right? That every kid in the world gets programmed with it. Don't care. Right? You just want to do shoulder, right? Don't agree. Don't have to agree. Right? I'm choosing there to not go with the truth for whatever reason, a smaller reason. But it's the same, I'm guessing it seems to be, it's the same process on a smaller scale. I'm refusing to accept. Right? Because I want my way. Right? And our job is one of growth. If we want to get closer to Hashem, we want to get closer to the truth. So we have to go through this process of being broken and being broken, which is all part of humility as well. That's where our humility comes in. Our humility comes in through knowing that we're not right, we're wrong. Right? I'm just closing my business at the moment. Invested a lot of money in that. A huge flop. Mamash, but spectacularly failed. Not just small failed. Not just like it just wasn't so successful and it wasn't just making money. Spectacularly failed. Which was really good because it was mamash from Hashem. Hashem showed me there's absolutely nothing you can do to make this business work. I am not making this work for you. I'm a smart guy. I've been a corporate lawyer working for businesses for 20 years. I know what works and what doesn't work. A little bit, like, secularly. Right? I've run businesses before. I opened my own law practice twice. Right? And I spoke to a lot of people to get a lot of advice about what to do with it, what not to do with it. Now, what I did, nothing. Zero people. You couldn't drag them in. Even when they came in, they ran out. And it's not because the place was bad. The handful of people who did come in said it was beautiful. This is an amazing place. They went around telling everybody how beautiful it was, how amazing it was. So I know the place was right. Hashem wanted me to fail. Mamash. And to learn all the lessons that came along with it. And one of them was big dose of humility. Mamash, a big dose of humility. Can't do anything without him. Talk about learn lots of other things. Part of it. A big part of it a large dose of humility. And to know that I can fail and get back up. For it to not clean me out. Right, lots of different things, but part of the fact is that to accept that we don't know, to accept failure as being okay, as being part of life. One of the 39 malachot on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do, deraita, is. So we've got to say what it is. What are the 39 melachot? Why do we have 39 melachot? Is that the 39 melachot that we use to build the Mishkan? So why don't we do them on Shabbat? Because these are the 39 melachot that build the Mishkan, that build the world. On the 6 days we build the world, the 7th day we don't. We don't do any building of the world on the 7th day. Right? Hashem finished building, we don't. So all the building the world, this making this, putting this together. What's one of the 39 menachot? Erasing, rubbing out. Rubbing out and erasing is one of the 39 ways of building the world. Right? It's one of the malachas you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to erase. Not allowed to destroy. Which shows us that's one of the malachot. One of the malachot is that we have a mistake. What's the erasing? Where's that in the Mishkan? Because they would write the thing on the make a mistake and they have to do it again. And they would write the numbers on the krashim, on the poles, to which one goes and which one. You know, when you're making a sukkah, you put on your boards, this is one, this is two, this is three, so that you remember next year. So that's deep and holy, that came from the Mishkan. They used to write on the krashim which ones they were. And that's why we're not allowed to write, because otherwise, where's writing in the Mishkan? So this is in the Gemara and Shabbos, right? So that's where the writing came in. They used to make mark a sign. Either there's a dispute there actually what writing is. Is that a number? Is that a letter? Is that a sign? Because how do they mark the krashim? So when they would get it wrong, they would rub it out. Not like, and this, that's Dafka, that was part of the process. It had to be rubbed out. It's not like they made a mistake and they had to rub it out. So let's just carry on, because that's not. Why were they making mistakes? Because they had to make mistakes. That was part of the. If there's no mistake, then there's no building. So we have to be very prepared to make mistakes, to go after the truth, and to say we're wrong. Okay. And after a person thinks that he's already achieved the truth, he needs to be prepared to admit that yet again he has made a mistake. And again he needs to change his path and his thoughts. It's a repeated process. At each stage that I'm growing, Hashem is going to show me that I wasn't right. What I thought I knew was wrong. I thought I understood, right? I thought that everybody's wonderful, and there's no difference between Jews, non-Jews, from people, this people. And then I started to learn Torah, and I realized actually, Frumkeit was the way to go, and people are breaking Shabbos are really bad, and they're wrong. So I changed my view of them. They used to be my best friends, and now I think they're doing wrong. And then I learned a bit more, and I realized actually they're not doing wrong. They're just doing what Hashem told them, and that's okay. So I changed my view again. And then I learned a little bit more, and I actually saw that what they're doing is actually destroying the fabric of creation every time they chilul Shabbat, and so I got upset at them again. And then I learned a bit more, and I realized that even that is good, because that's part of what Hashem planned. Right? So each time I'm achieving new hasagot, new understanding, and I'm breaking my old one, and I'm changing my... But I have... knowing that maybe this is going to change too. You know what? Right now... That's my view of things. It might not be true till someone comes along and tells me, but I'm prepared that someone can come along and tell me otherwise. If you can come and explain to me why I need to be doing my macronym, I don't do my own macronym right now, but if you can explain to me why it's really important to do so, fine, good, and then I'll do it. But I don't want to be in the mindset of saying, you can explain to me all you like, but I'm not doing it. Yeah, but I'm not doing it. I don't even bother. right? The idea, don't even bother telling me because I'm not going to change, should be horrendous to us, right? If you can show me the truth, and the truth is that I should wear a white pom-pom kippah and start dancing on trucks, right? If that is really the truth, then fine. I shouldn't have a problem, right? Logically with that. If you can show me why that's true, and I see the emet, I see the light, fantastic, let's do it. Why not? Why would I not want to do that? Plenty of reasons why I would not want to do that, right? But the theory should be that just, Nachon, if that's true, that's what Hashem wants. So let's Lama lo, let's do it. Right, and the truth is, even though I have that understanding, and you could show me why it's true, and I already know now from what I just said that it could be that 5 minutes later someone comes along and explains to me exactly why that's not true, I should still 100% go ahead and do it and wait till that person comes and tells me, because otherwise it may or may not happen, knowing that this is what Hashem wants, that this is my path, and I'm going to make a mistake. Right? Right now I need to invest a whole lot of money in a business that may or may not fit. Fine, and it may be a complete disaster. Yofi, fine. But let's do it anyway, because that's what I think I need to do right now. That's why Hashem's showing me that this is my path. That's what He's showing me. Show me 100%. This is what you need to do with your life. I'm fine. That's what you're showing me. That's the truth. I'm jumping in completely, and then I get burned completely, and I'm jumping straight out again, completely. And on to the next thing. Why? Because I'm trusting in Hashem that He's the one who's leading me. That all this is Him. And the failures and the getting up, the downs and up, is part of His path. No one else is putting me on this path. I shouldn't be scared of it. It's worrying and it's scary. So now, you know, now what am I going to do now? Right? Who knows what's going to be around the next corner, where it's going to lead up. Now putting on my keeper and going to work. What's going to be? I don't know. Who knows where this thing is going to kick you out. You're going to be fired, whatever it is. Your feet. Who knows? That's a path of truth. If we really are truth seekers,
I can give a logical reason
for what?
To a person, when he fails or something bad happens to him, how Emunah can help. And if we believe that everything is good and everything is from Hashem, so you have two choices in life. Okay? When something bad happens, you can say it was bad, or you can say it was good.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, if you say it was bad, then you take all the consequences of that bad. You're depressed. You, for example, you lose a son in a war, God forbid. Then your whole life affects your relationship with your husband and your children and your grandchildren. All you think about all day, you're dead. You're a living dead too.
Right.
Or you can say it's from Hashem and was for the good.
Uh-huh.
And if you train yourself, and it takes convince yourself that that's the right way to live, then it makes life much easier.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. 100%. We create our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
When we decide that something is bad, then it is bad. And when we decide that something is good, then it is good. Right? We create that by our own decision. So everything really is good, and it's just we either reveal it or we mask it. We can't. I mean, the truth is, because we're not creating or anything. The truth is, it is good. Just because I don't see it like that, I don't call it that. If I have a lemon and I decide vehemently that this is a pear, and do what I like, but it's still a lemon. Right? Hashem is still good. Everything that happened to you is still good. You might decide to call it a pear. Right? It's all from pear-shaped. Right? You might decide, right? But fine, you can do that. You can imagine what you like. Doesn't mean it's true. There are consequences to what you imagine. Right? You then live your life according to that.
There are two sayings. One is a tzaddik falls 7 times,
yeah,
but he gets up.
Yeah.
The other saying is, if you have a lemon,
yeah,
you make lemonade. Instead of, woe is me, let's blame the Jews. as our cousins, or I should say our neighbors, do.
If you look at a lemon as a pear, then you have two lemons.
Very nice. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.